Aloha, and welcome to 6-Bit Storybooks Podcast, a podcast that delights in a deeper story and connecting ours with yours. Our podcast this week is sponsored by our newest issue, Dwell. You'll hear a bit about that storybook, number 2, a little more as I chat with Melody, who is joining us again today. Dwell has inspiring articles from creative souls the world over, as well as 11 patterns to knit and 1 pattern to sew. We are proud of this issue, really proud of this issue, and we hope you'll enjoy it. If you do, tell a friend. If you have your own podcast or blog or just folks in your sphere of influence and you'd like to share a bit of us with them, why not reach out to me? I promise I'm easy to connect with, and I'd love to help you with some material about us. You can reach me at hellomelissa@6bitsstorybooks.com. And now let's get right into chatting with Melody, because it's been far too long, and we have missed you, dear listener. Well, it is so exciting to be sitting with you again, Melody.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. And we have so much to catch up on, and unfortunately, we don't have like 20 hours. Mm-hmm. You and I haven't spoken to each other in this way since it was before Christmas.
Before Christmas.
Yeah. Okay, so let's backtrack. How was your Christmas?
Wonderful. We spent the day in Burgundy with my cousin, my aunt, and it was just the warmest day ever, which was really weird. Usually, you know, it's quite cold, but it was really, really warm. I was walking outside with just a sweater, and it was sunny, and we enjoyed some time outside, and then we had our usual feast. So it was really... really, really good to spend time with family.
And so then did you have the feast outside since it was so nice?
No, it was not that hot or not that warm. That's just unusual.
It's so funny because that was our day yesterday. My kids were wearing shorts. Yeah, and it's funny because you, do you guys still have snow where you are?
No, it all melted away. Yeah.
You like it though. I would like it if you woke up in the morning and it was cold and there was snow.
I love snow so much.
It is. It makes everything so peaceful.
How was your Christmas?
It was so pleasant. We just really enjoyed it. And so many good memories. Lots of joyful times. It just is. It's funny to think. And if for those people who are listening in as you and I chat, sometimes I forget that there are people listening. But if they have the issue of Dwell, there's a story in there called A Moving Story. And I was thinking about that article over the holidays as we put our tree up, because we have put a tree up in the last 20 years of marriage, I think in 14 or 15 different houses. So for Christmas, it's always a time to reflect on places we've been. And to really appreciate where we are. And it was a great Christmas. We try to keep things low key. We don't do tons and tons of gifts, but we do lots and lots of games and different activities together, walks, crafts and stuff. And again, this year was just wonderful. I hope everybody listening had a great time too.
Yeah.
And then we had Christmas, we had New Year's, we had all of January, we had the release of Dwell, we had your beautiful patterns out for the world to show everybody.
And your sweaters.
Oh, you're so sweet. I know, listeners, Melody sent me a message when she saw the issue of Dwell, and oh my gosh, it got me so choked up. I just thought that was so sweet because you just went on about how much you loved Lyndon, and it made my heart just about to burst. You're just so thoughtful, and it's so fun, isn't it? After you work really hard And yeah. I know we can share this in common because I know we both worked really hard. And there are mm-hmm. times that you're just, you get frustrated with what you're doing. And then there's times that you're loving what you're doing. And then you go back to being frustrated. And then when it's all said and done and you're finished with it and somebody says that they like it, it is just, I can't That's stop true. Smiling.
Yeah. And especially since this sweater has such a beautiful story mm-hmm. behind the pattern, just such a beautiful piece.
Thank you. Well, let's talk a little bit about the stuff that we made together and how it all kind of came about. Is that mm-hmm. good for you?
Oh, yeah.
So let's start with your pattern collection. You did two of them, and they both relate to each other. Mm-hmm. But do you want to talk us through which one came first? You know, like what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Sure.
What came first, the hat or the gloves?
Well, I first started working on the treehouse hat. I just got really inspired by the location and the idea of, the picture in my mind of Oregon, even though I've never been there. Mm-hmm. I just imagined a place full of trees, full of pine trees. And I just imagined myself spending time in a tree house in the middle of nowhere with snow around, a blanket, and just knitting. And I just imagine wearing the hat that I created. And yeah, I just got inspired by the location. And for the mittens, I wasn't about to make the pattern the way it is now. I got inspired by the hats. And I just love the stitch so much that I wanted to incorporate it in a mitten pattern. So that's what I did. But when I first started knitting with the yarn, this is not what I had envisioned at all. And I realized that it wouldn't have worked that I started working with the stitch, the tree stitch, and see if I could make it work mm-hmm. for the mittens.
You know, it's interesting. I don't think listeners realize that even though I come up with kind of a theme and an idea, my surprise is just like their surprise when we collaborate, because we talk about ideas. There's a mood board. There's kind of a theme. You and I talk and talk and talk, and we talk about yarn. We talk about colors, but you don't submit something to me for approval. I kind of get, so it's not like other places that...
That's so true.
Yeah.
I realize it right now because I'm actually working on the sample for the next issue, and I remember that I was supposed to not submit anything to you, but I just shown you pictures mm-hmm. without, you know, really asking you, that was fine.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of cool. I think that's, for me, unless I get to know the people I'm working with, like really get to know them, which takes time and mm-hmm. it takes a lot of, there were like so many times last month and the month before when we were talking that when I would look at my phone and it tells you on the iPhone, like how much time your battery went to something, it would be days when you and I were WhatsApping and it would be like 90% of my battery.
And memory as well.
Oh yeah. I know. But spending time to actually, you know, slow down enough to get to know you and trust what you're doing. And that's not to say that other publications don't do that. It's just, you know, I'm not working with other publications. I'm just doing what I know we do. And mm-hmm. Just to be able to say, okay, Melody, these are some things that I'd like to see. And you're saying, okay, I'd like to do this. And then when I see what you've done, it's just as exciting and surprising to me. Mm-hmm. But what's kind of really interesting is when we first started talking about it, your idea for the mittens was actually, if I remember, was perhaps to try doing some color work with it. Is that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. It just didn't work at all. I was, you know, it's funny. It's the same. It's kind of the same thing every time that I create a pattern. Actually, I start with a very specific idea, and then I get stuck. Something doesn't work, and I have to find new ideas or new ways to kind of make the pattern work. So usually it changes a lot from what I had first envisioned, and in the end, I end up with something completely different. So it's
It's funny because it's not that what you start out, it's not so much it doesn't work. It's almost like it evolves. Like you have an idea and this is what it is.
That's
and then once
true.
You get your hands in it, you're just like, but it wants, you know, you hear people say, what does the yarn want to be? Or what does the canvas want to be? Or what does the fabric want to be? And for people who haven't experienced that moment where what you're working with does share with you, hey, I want to be this. It does sound kind of hokey, but when it really happens and you're just kind of plugging along.
It really happens.
Yeah.
That's such a weird feeling when it's not, I don't know if it's the yarn that speaks to you or if like your soul meets the yarn. And when, you know, you reach this point, you know, that's how it's supposed to be.
Oh yeah. And sometimes it's fun that you'll play with a yarn and you start to swatch. And I know for me, I'll just kind of, I swatch a lot and I always leave in my patterns room. Like if I tell you, okay, you know, swatch in the round, swatch flat, take time to get the gauge. I kind of add into the yardage that amount for swatching because I think it's so important because you get to know the way the yarn is behaving, of course, on its own, but you also get to be introduced to the yarn and your hands and the yarn kind of playing together and what the two of them kind of will create and make. So yeah, I like swatching with stuff.
Yeah.
And you used two different weights. One for the hat was the worsted and then the mittens are the sport. Yes.
Sports.
And sport was what I used for the cardigan. So it was kind of fun, I think, this time around to use squishier, fuller yarns as opposed to last issue.
That's true. And it's funny when I discovered all of the patterns, when how close it is to the mood board that we have created.
Yeah. It was. Like, I think the Lovell shawl with the fringe. There was a kind of a bohemian vibe to a couple of images where, you know, there was shirts that had the fringe and some macrame. And that one, even though it looks kind of simple, the knitting is really therapeutic and simple. But the fringe I thought was a lot of fun. It took me back to the days when I remember my dad making a macrame plant holder. Do you know macrame?
Yeah, I do. I do make plant holders as well.
Yeah. And my dad, for some reason, my mom and my dad were taking a class together or something. And I remember him, we had some French doors that led from our living room into the dining room and they would stay closed, but he opened them up and he put like this metal pin that kind of, it's like a screw that has a circle at the bottom of it. And he was doing macrame. And I remember him making all these little knots. And so the whole time I was making the Lovell shawl, I was torn between thinking of my first year in college and then my dad making macrame. And it was just really funny to play with yarn and create something and have all these memories just as you knit, flood your head and flood your heart.
Yeah,
it was a good time, I thought. So how do you feel now that your patterns are out in the world and people are seeing them? How are you feeling?
Really excited.
Yeah.
Really, really excited. And it makes me want to knit another treehouse hat because
you have to knit another treehouse hat, don't you?
Because I told you that I have lost the one that I knit myself. So yeah,
I think
I'm just
you should. You should knit one for yourself. Do you have any of the shepherd's wool left?
No.
Oh,
no.
I'll have to get you some because you like that yarn, don't you?
It's beautiful, beautiful yarn. That was my very first time working with shepherd's wool, and I'm not surprised that people say so many beautiful things about this yarn.
What did you like about it?
It was, I don't know, unexpectedly soft.
Mm-hmm. It is. It's very, very soft.
I don't think it's merino. I think it's wool, virgin wool. I'm not so sure, but I was just really, really surprised. And the yarn is very round. And I just love the way it felt behind my fingers. It was just, the yarn comes from Michigan, right?
It does. It comes from a small farm in Michigan. And you want to hear the craziest thing, how I was introduced to it?
Sure.
Nora Bellows came to Kauai, and she is a designer. She's gotten her fame based on felted purses, felted handbags. She also had a flower book called Noni's Flowers. And she just loved shepherd's wool. And so the idea was to knit these huge pieces in shepherd's wool. And you're just like, oh my gosh, this stuff is so soft. And then you felted it. And so you intentionally shrunk it down. And when it felt, I will tell you, it is the most beautiful thing felted as well, because it's so soft on its own merit. And then when you felt it or full it, you know, agitate it so it locks together, it's not like when you get a sweater that gets hard. It's still very soft and supple. And I just remember thinking, I don't want to felt any more of this stuff. I want to use it for a sweater. And I did. I knit, I think Nora has a pattern called the Ella coat. And I knit it. It's a long coat. It comes below your knees, long sleeves. And I knit that out of shepherd's wool in a bunch of different colors. And it's just absolutely stunning. The yarn, the way it just so soft and bright and tweedy, and it just does everything perfectly well. So when you look at your pattern and you see it in, because it's in four different settings, it goes to the wooded snowy forest of Oregon. It goes to more towards the coast in the forest when Hannah is wearing it, the blonde haired gal. It's on the beach of Kauai in Poipu. And then it is in the forests with Kate in Kauai too. So you get to see your hat in four different places on four different heads.
That's true.
Doing four different things. Do you have a favorite location? It's okay. It's okay to have a favorite. One of the photo stories. Do you have a favorite?
That's difficult to say because the pictures are gorgeous in any of the locations. So,
well, then how about is there a place that you would like to be in the photo shoot wearing that hat? Like one that you're like, I want to be there in this photo shoot.
Probably Oregon.
The one in Oregon? The one with the snow or the one in the forest?
Both. Both, or you know, just in forests, anywhere in the forest, I will be fine.
It's funny, as we talked, Hannah, who is the blonde-haired model that listeners will probably have seen on Instagram and on Ravelry and in the issue, of course, in the forest, wearing, you know, it starts off where she's wearing the linden sweater. That forest kind of reminded me of when you and I first met and we were first talking and we were going back and forth. And I asked you, you know, to take the group of us on a walk 20 minutes from your house. And you took us to the forest. That forest with the soft pine needles that Hannah is in kind of reminded me of that soft forest floor walk, you know, when you did yours. It is. It's a nice little feel. Yeah, so you have a couple of ones, if you had more time in the day, a couple of patterns that you would want to knit. Of course, the treehouse hat, since that one is now hopefully warming someone else's head.
Hopefully. Let's not talk about that.
If you were going to reknit it.
My poor hat.
If you were going to reknit it, because that was the burgundy one.
Yeah.
Yes, and people have seen that on Instagram. If you were going to knit it in another color, what color would you pick? What are some colors that maybe as listeners are maybe contemplating, hey, I want to knit that. What's a good color?
I think a natural color would be great. I have two bowls of cream, treated cream yarn with speckles of gold. So I think that would be, it's the same yarn that I have used. I bought two more bowls, and I think that would be really beautiful. Something really simple, because the pattern in itself is quite simple, and the twisted stitches could get a bit lost in, you know, a yarn that would, you know, be too bright or like too many colors. Mm-hmm. So I think just a simple yarn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did really like the sage green color. Mm-hmm. But I also liked the yarn that you knit the second one in, the burgundy. Can you tell us about that yarn?
So that's a French yarn. It's mm-hmm. called Fonti. And it's a yarn produced in France. I think it's 95% merino wool and 5% mohair. And I'm not sure if the sheep, come from Portugal or from France, but the yarn is processed in France completely, and it's very affordable yarn. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really stunning if you like treaty yarn and rusted, but not, it's not itchy. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, natural yarn.
Yeah,
so and it's a really good option as well.
And I like being able to have you speak to that, because shepherd's wool is here in the U.S. and it's super easy for us to get, but it's not always easy for people all yeah. over the world to get. And I find the more we interact with, well, you're already overseas, but the more I interact with, you know, subscribers and listeners who are sharing with us about yarns, sometimes it's not as easy for all of us to get the same yarn. Mm-hmm. So it's great to hear about this, this French yarn. And is that one pretty easy to get? Is it only available in France, or do you think that, that most of the UK and, European areas would be able to get it? Like, is it available in Latvia too, or?
No, in Latvia we don't really have online shops. Mm-hmm. So not here, but I think you can definitely order from a couple of online yarn shops that are based in France, and they deliver worldwide. So,
well, do you want to give a shout out to the yarn shop where you got yours?
The yarn shop is called, it's French, mm-hmm.
so it sounds beautiful. So go ahead.
It's called Purple Laine. Laine, it's wool in French. So that's the yarn shop I got the yarn from. And
is that in Paris?
Sorry?
Is that in Paris or in Burgundy?
No, they are actually based in the countryside.
Oh.
In the countryside. And the other one is from Laine et Tricot, mm-hmm. which is another website quite famous in France. And I think that they carry Fonti as well.
Fonti. Fonti?
T-Y.
Fonti?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah, and it's good to know. It's you knit the first one in the sage, and that was shepherd's wool, and this one is a beautiful wine color. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now we need to get you knitting it in another color.
That's true. Or another yarn, try something else.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really interesting.
I even think that, I mean, as long as it wasn't, I know you mentioned that a bright color, the stitch definition might mm-hmm. get lost. I think I would like to just encourage people to maybe swatch, because you tell how, you know, you of course give the information of swatching, that if they wanted to experiment, because I think it'd be kind of fun to see that in like a sky blue color, the tree, or even like a more deep green, like the linden sweater green.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, but to see, you know, to take a moment and just swatch it, and I could just picture a bunch of people posting pictures on Instagram of your little tree pattern on little swatches of all different colors. But yeah, I would definitely avoid the variegated. I think that the stitch, mm-hmm. I don't think that would play very well on that. Oh, well, I think the treehouse one is definitely one that I would like to knit. I'd like to do the mittens as well. It's funny though, because it's so warm here. I was saying yesterday we were wearing shorts, and last night we had thunderstorms because it was so warm, and this morning again. So I think for me, one of the ones that I think that I'd like to re-knit is Bopshi's Corner. I believe it or not, there are a lot of really fun patterns in Dwell, but that to me is one that I use since I knit it up. I knit several different samples to try to play with different yarns to see how it works up. And it just reminds me, which I'm sure you see where you are, a lot of the Bopshis or the babushkas, you know, with the kerchief on their head. I find that just with my kind of Afro-y hair that I can put that on and all of a sudden I look a little bit tidier. and they're, you know, they're fun to play together with different colors. So that's one that, as I'm on the go, I'll probably knit a few of those.
And it's a good, stash burner as well.
It is. Yeah. It makes quick work of getting rid of, your stash.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And your beautiful linen sweater. I don't know which yarn to use for it yet. I don't have, a lot of stash, a lot of yarn in my stash, and I don't really know what to use for it. You've used Space Cadet, Lara, right?
Yeah, it's I put it over. Got my extra stash. I have my bag of swatches and stuff because I'm at my desk. But yes, the Space Cadet yarn that I used was it's a superwash merino wool from Space Cadet, and I know you kind of prefer to stay away from the superwash. So a couple of things that I could share about the yarn for those that like the superwash and like the ease of. Although I never recommend, even though people say, oh, superwash, you can toss it in the washing machine. I feel like I would be tossing my youngest child in in the washing machine and telling her, all right, hold your breath. You'll be done in 45 minutes. I don't do, nope. But a couple of things, you know, of course, the green and the icy blue are just so perfectly created. Stephanie made some gorgeous colors for this. And in fact, when we were talking about the color for the green one, she named it Longing. And I had to laugh because she didn't want to name it like pine tree or pine. And so she did a play on the word pine, pining, you know, when you're pining for something, you're longing for it. And so she named it Longing, which I kind of enjoyed. But the yarn, things to consider for that is the fact that it's a cable ply. So it's the construction of it is really interesting. If you were to untwist it, you would see the fact that each ply is actually made up of two plies plied together. And there's four of them. Mm-hmm. And so the double strands, four double strands really give you eight strands. And it's, I think it's just the inherent nature of these twisted individual plies, then plying together, it makes it a really round yarn.
That's true.
Filled with a lot of air, a lot of softness. In fact, Hudson, the fella who was modeling it, it just cracked me up because he's like, it was the softest thing I've ever worn. he loved it, which I really enjoyed that.
Did he get you a sample back?
Yeah, I did. I did. And so the yarn is soft, and a couple things to keep in mind. For me, the darker color works great. You can still see the texture on the back, but it has a much different personality. And if you look at the photos of the sweater,
that's so true. Yeah. I actually thought that there were two different sweaters.
Well, they kind of are, because I wanted to give it two really distinct looks, even though it's a unisex sweater. Mm-hmm. It's definitely sized, keeping men in mind. So, I wanted to get it big with the long sleeves. And you can see in all the pictures that the sleeves are super long. Mm-hmm. And that's intentional, because when I was a little girl and I would wear my grandfather's sweater, the sleeves were what I always remember. I would, when I was talking to Kate about, getting the photos, and Hannah, I made sure that when they were doing their individual photo shoots, I said, when I was a little girl, I would take the cuffs and I'd bring them up to my nose and I would sniff it. And they both captured those pictures, which for me was just joy. So the sleeves are long, and if that's not your thing, of course, you want to end the sleeve a bit sooner before you start shaping the sleeve cap. And definitely remember that the back of it, definitely swatch, because the cool thing is, and I'll do a blog post on this, I've got it prepared and it'll be going out pretty soon. But the back of it will really stretch and grow, because it's a series of textured panels within textured lacy panels. So my advice is, don't size up, because it's already generously sized, and stay. If you're a 38, stick with the 38.5. Don't say, oh, you know what? I think women don't you notice that men, they're like, if they're if they're a 38, they're like, oh, I can go down to 36. Women, if they're a 38, they're like, I'm a 38 and I need to go up to a 47 or 52. We always feel like we need
just to have a bit of ease.
Yeah, this sucker has at least a good solid 4 to 6 inches of positive ease, just with the stretch and the way the sweater flows. But I think women, more than men, seeing this issue, can see over the course of the different models, especially if you go to the very last page and you read, it tells you the different sizes for the busts and the shapes, and you can see the models wearing, those are the same exact sweaters. Meaning, like, if you see the green one on Kate, and then you see it on Hannah, and you see it on Hudson, and then you see it on, Rousseau is the fella in the Oregon shoot that's wearing it. And so if you see all four of them, it's the same sweater. It just looks different.
And it looks great on everyone. That's just, that's just amazing, really.
You're
because
so sweet.
As you said, they have like different body shapes, and it's
and
just
it's
like
that,
such, it's such a versatile sweater.
And so the green one, just to clarify, is the medium size, and it's plenty good. And then the Phrygia one, the icy blue one, is also, what I love about it is in the Oregon shoot, you'll see Emile, and she has the blonde hair, and she is wearing it, not Hannah in the singular photo shoot, but the group photo shoot. She is a normal, average size woman. She's not super tall. She's not super short. She's not really thin. She's just who she is. You can see how it looks on her, and it fits her without so much ease. She's got it more of like fitted to her body. And I love it. I just think it looks so beautiful fitted too. So I would even encourage women to, if you don't want it with so much positive ease, drop down a size.
Mm-hmm.
But the yarn, what's kind of funny is how the yarn, like with your hat, when you were talking about different colors and the stitch pattern, the stitches, if you do it in a lighter color, you're really going to see, especially the back panel, pop a lot more. Mm-hmm. Not to say that you won't with the darker colors, but the darker colors, I think somebody's going to be a little bit closer to you and inspecting it and really saying, oh my goodness, I had no idea this sweater had so much
texture.
Yeah. Whereas if you did it in a white or a natural or a cream, or even I'm looking at you on my Skype right now in your water lily sweater, like that color. Yeah. Cause we're just recording without the video. I keep looking at that and thinking that grayish, almost like a purpley.
Yeah. It's a purpley gray.
Yeah. That I just keep thinking, man, I'd like to be a level in that. What yarn is that? Do you remember?
It's Drops, Baby Alpaca Silk.
Oh, I love that color. So yeah, it's fun to be able to have a pattern that you can work really over, a lot of different ways. I think your hat shows that you can do it in a couple different colors and really get a different vibe. Same thing with the Linden sweater.
And your Makua chunos.
Oh, Makua, yeah.
Yeah.
Makua.
This is such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sweater.
And Makua is a surprise for subscribers. That is, you know, last issue we had these mitts that I made for them, and it's just for them. That's kind of our way of saying mahalo for purchasing the whole magazine. Mm-hmm. And so Makua is only available if you get the whole issue, but it's that tricolor, it's a color block sweater, like a true color block. And the name of the surf spot on Kauai is actually, like, locals call it Tunnels. So the Hawaiian name is Makua, but Tunnels is the place. So it's the same name. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful. So beautiful there. Just the most beautiful spot. You could sit and soak up everything. The white sandy beaches, which is the bottom, and it's that swath of big panel at the bottom. And then the ocean there always looks like liquid silver, just the most beautiful liquid silvery color. And then the sun just seems to come from both sides and kind of covers the ocean. And that's kind of how Makua Tunnels was kind of brought to life. And that wool, that yarn, oh my goodness, is so, so soft. It is.
It looks really, really soft.
It's wool folk yarn.
Yeah.
It's the far. It is. Whoa, man. I just squished that yarn. I love that yarn. And I will tell listeners, here's a freebie. That sweater, because I wanted to put myself into just a person who's going to buy the yarn for it. I'm just going to give everybody a little aside here. I bought that yarn. I did not ask Wool Folk to donate the yarn. I did not ask Forever Yarn in Pennsylvania or Knit Pearl in Portland. I did not ask any place to give me the yarn for that because I knew it was a bit of an indulgence. And I thought if somebody was going to see this and knit it, would they want to pay if I was given the yarn to knit it and then said, oh my gosh, this is so wonderful. It's different than when I spend my hard earned dollar and buy the yarn and then say, okay, you know what? This sweater was worth this. They're not paying me to say it. And so I really, one of the reasons I use this is the, just for the subscriber exclusive. It's something that I put my own money into it because I wanted to be able to say without reservation that this sweater is largely in part, I mean, it's There's so much of this sweater due to the softness of the yarn and the drape of the yarn that I think if I was going to try to cut corners on making it, I wouldn't cut corners on buying the yarn. What I would do is, instead of using three colors, you can use, and I think it's in the notes on the pattern, that you can use less yarn if you did it in two colors. You know, it's just that, you know, you don't use completely all the skeins of the three colors. So that would save you a skein or two if you didn't. So, yeah.
And it would look great in two-color, you know, two-color block as well.
It really would. And it would save a couple of, I mean, actually, it would save several skeins. So that's some soft yarn. I'm going to have to send you. I've got one skein left. And I have some little bibs and bobs. I kept thinking, how do I make something out of this to use up every last little bit? But I think what I might do is, if you want it, I can send you the full skein and some of the little bits, because it's so soft.
And the construction of the sweater, I have the computer, the page open with the sweater right now, and the construction is really interesting. I just love the, is that double, is that seed stitch?
Oh, yeah. The textured one. It's like a double, it's so funny. People have all different kinds of names for it. And that's why I thought, you know what? One book might call it this. Your grandma might have told you this, but it's, I just called it a texture pattern.
And in French, it's something else.
Yes, and we all have this this common language of knitting, but we have different nuances to it. So it is. It's like a textured double seed stitch, and it repeats. You know, it kind of plays up around your collar and at the cuffs and at the bottom, and the construction is pretty fun. You know,
it looks fun.
I did list it, though, as definitely if you want to do it and you're a beginner, I'm not going to stop you, of course. I'm going to encourage you to do what you can. But I will say the reason it was kind of graded the level it is because you knit it, you know, of course, from right side to the center, left side to the center. You have to pick up stitches, lots of different stitches. You're knitting it flat, then you're knitting it in the round. So you definitely need to take time and check your gauge for both ways.
That's true.
And then you have to graft the two pieces, the front right and the front left together. You have to graft them, which I know for some people, they like doing socks and kitcheneering the toes. Kind of the same idea, but I will say you got to take your time and work that one together. One last pattern I wanted to mention, because I actually, I'm getting ready to send the collection off for a trunk show in next week or two. Actually, it's next week. And I was, it's kind of prepping all the pieces, because, you know, they've been to four different, by the time they came home, they've been all over the world and they've done all different things. They've come from all parts of the world to meet and be worn by different people. So they've all gotten a good soak and block, except for the Chittick socks, the ones that Kate Carter Evans contributed to.
Oh, yes.
Did you read her pattern?
Not yet.
You've got to read the way.
I'm just looking at the socks right now and I'm obsessed with them.
I'm wearing them. I actually, because I'm going to watch them. I'm wearing the tan and.
Which ones? Because there's like several samples.
I know. She's so brilliant. Because you look at it and at first you look at it and it looks like it's like just like dropping down and crossing over and dropping down and crossing over. And then you look at it and it's got like these crisscross X's that just play on your eyes. But I'm wearing the natural ones and the tan. So it's like the natural color and dune.
This is gorgeous.
Yeah, but they are so comfy.
Comfy.
It's so funny because I was getting ready to talk with you and they were just sitting on the top and I thought, I got to go soak and block those. And then I was like, before I do that, I just want to wear them. I love them. She is a sock genius. And what I was going to say is
genius, definitely.
You're going to enjoy reading the pattern, even if you don't knit it. because she is a storyteller. She mm-hmm. just tells the most beautiful stories. And even with the way she writes her patterns, she had me cracking up. It's just as if she's just chatting with you. And so her pattern is not formatted like the patterns that you and I did as like our standard. I let it stay in her original pattern format because I wanted readers to know if, you know, if you ever order a pattern or a kit from Kate, it's so much an extension of who she is down to the way she writes it. So I can't wait for you to read the pattern. She's brilliant. And of course, all of the patterns except for Makua tunnels are available individually if people don't want to get the whole thing. You can get it individually.
Mm-hmm.
So now that it's out, how do you feel?
Really proud, actually. Yeah. Really, really proud.
Because... I am. I'm proud of you. I think you, I have to brag on you. You really rose to the occasion. I think people don't realize that you speak English so well and it's not a big deal. And I think people don't realize that when you have to stop and think to write and do things like I ask or do things like the magazine needs, that, you know, it's not your first language and it's not your, and you really stuck through some corrections. And I know I had to correct things on my end, but it's in English and it's, you know, I'm talking to people in English and there's nothing lost in translation but I just am really, really proud of the work you did. I think that you consistently show people that you have a heart of gold and that you have a real desire to put something wonderful into their hand. And I think you did that. I think you did it really well. And I'm proud of you. I think you should be proud of yourself. Are you there? Melody has left the building. Are you there for real?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. I think you should be proud. I'm very proud of you. I'm excited about the next issue. It's so funny. Okay. I know we can't even talk about that now because people are enjoying this one.
Mm-hmm.
But well, I think we have hit our mark for as much time. Do you want to wrap up and say anything as we go on our merry ways for the day?
Well, I wish you all a beautiful day and hopefully you get inspired by this new beautiful issue.
And are you going to be knitting after we get off the phone?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I was going to ask real quick, and we can go into further detail later, but what kind of needles did you use? Because I wanted to mention for Linden, I made sure for the Linden cardigan, I wanted to use needles with really sharp tips just because with that left twist, it worked mm-hmm. and it helped. Yours has a lot of purling and then of course the texture and lifting up stitches and stuff. Did you find that a specific needle tip or a needle in general helped you with that?
Well, I actually got a set of Chiagami needles for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so before I was knitting with the Knit Pro ones and mm-hmm. They are quite blunt. So it was quite difficult sometimes for purling. You know, it's a lot of purling for the mittens and the hats. Mm-hmm. And I found that I might have found the best needles for me so far. So I would probably recommend needles that are a bit sharper. You know, okay. When you knit, it's fine. But when you purl, I think it's better to have, sharper needles.
Yeah, I found that too. It's kind of navigating through stitches, like with the purling and your tree texture, mm-hmm. and then Linden the texture, and even Makua. I used not Jagu. I used I used my Lantern Moon, and they're the ebony ones. I love these. They're not like a super sharp tip, but they're not super rounded. They're somewhere in between, and they have a long from the tip. If you're a new knitter and you're looking at your needle, sometimes the tip to the body of the needle can be short, can be long. And
Yeah.
this seems like it's nice and long. And I appreciated that part of the needle when I was picking up a lot of stitches. So,
yeah.
I think we'll talk more about tools and things that we used in the extras for the knitters that are subscribing, but also on the podcast, we'll talk more about it too in weeks ahead. But I just wanted, in case somebody was going to listen to us while they were swatching, they might find that what we say about our needles helps. Well, I'm glad we got to spend time together today.
Yeah, it's been such a long time.
Yeah, it's been way too long. But it's always fun to see what you're up to, even when we don't get to talk. Although, I say we don't get to talk, we talk all the time.
Yeah, but just it's not talking.
Yeah, it's not in like real time. It's like you'll leave me a 6-minute message and then I leave you a 37-minute message. It's so much fun to be friends. I'm glad we're friends. All right. Will you enjoy the rest of your day?
You too. I'm almost done with my probably 1 gram of yarn left.
Oh, wow. Good for you. I did a couple inches on the thing that I'm working on and I can't tell.
The thing.
I feel like in the Lorax story when they would knit a sneed. Everyone needs a sneed. And yeah, you don't know what it is. That's kind of what I'm knitting right now.
Okay.
Thank you, Melody.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for spending time with Melody and I today. I don't know if you realize how important you are to us. I know hearing from you all enriches my day. And it just improves just the story that I'm writing, whether it's in words, here spoken, or on the blog, or in stitches from patterns that I create. When you share with us, it really does make a difference. Never forget how valuable you are, how important your story is, how people do delight in hearing from you. I know I'd love to hear from you. So feel free to contact me at hellomelissa@sixbitsstorybooks.com or find me and 6bits on Instagram. I am mskiknits and 6bitsstorybooks is 6.bits.storybooks. Also be sure to visit our website www.6bitsstorybooks.com and you can see more of what we've been talking about today. As always, I wish you the best day possible and that it's filled with aloha, joy, and happy knitting.